Who remembers their first roommate in college? Was it a good match, or were you an odd couple? We'll talk about the roommate experience this hour with a guest who writes an advice column and books to help college students and their parents deal with the issues they face in college, including roommate problems. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 3rd. We'll talk about how to deal with a far from ideal roomie and welcome your stories of horror, happiness, and the lessons you learned from your roommates and the entire experience. And we'll welcome your questions, too, if you have an issue dealing with a roommate, whether you're in college or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Harlan Cohen. He's the author of Help Me, Harlan, a column, and several books, including The Naked Roommate and 107 Other Issues You Might Run Into in College, and The Naked Roommate for Parents Only. And Harlan has been on the show before. He also attended UW-Madison for his first 2 years of college. Good morning. Thanks for being back with us.
Hey, Joy, it's so wonderful to be here with you.
So I promised listeners that I would have you tell the story of the naked roommate once again. Who was the naked roommate?
You know, the naked roommate is really a compilation of all the different roommates who I've lived with. You know, there wasn't one naked roommate, although I did see my roommate naked, but it was only when they were changing and I didn't stare at them. Okay.
So, just talk a little bit about why you made this that the title of the book.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have many naked roommates. So the thing is, you know, unfortunately, I just can't share one, but I've had so many. And the idea is that, you know, other than prison, okay, this is the only time in people's lives that they're forced to live with strangers. It's really crazy. And most people, you know, haven't lived with someone. So when I moved in with my roommate, it was very surprising. I was at Madison. And the thing is, I really needed my roommate to be my friend because I didn't have any friends, okay? Not mm-hmm. that I was not worthy of friends. It's just that when you go to college, you don't have friends a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I met this guy. He's a nice enough guy. His name was Mike. And when his parents left, Mike proceeded to reach into his backpack and pull out some shrubbery. Okay.
Uh-oh. Was it legal shrubbery?
Oh, no, not legal shrubbery. These were not evergreens or bushwoods. What are some? I wish I knew good shrubs. I'm not a good landscaper. Anyway, he pulled out the shrubbery, and I was very surprised, and I tried to be cool. So I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm rolling a joint. And I said, that's cool. I was freaked out. And then he proceeded to smoke the shrubbery and asked me if I wanted some. And I was freaked out, but I tried to be cool. And I said, no thanks, man. I'm full.
I'm full.
Right. And he was really impressed by that. He never met anyone who ever got full. But he realized that I wasn't full of that stuff. I was full of something else. Because I never got high with him, but he moved out, and I was very devastated. And then I had another roommate. Oh, can I tell you one more?
Yeah, please.
One? Oh my gosh. So anyway, he moved out, and I was very devastated because I needed him as a friend. He was gone. Then I had this other roommate who I lived with, and this guy, when I decided I was going to transfer colleges, and it wasn't Madison's fault. Madison is gorgeous. I mean, you know Madison. It's like,
beautiful.
How could anyone have a problem? Only I could have a problem in Madison. This guy, I told him I was moving out, and he stopped talking to me. Okay? Have you ever had someone give you the silent treatment?
Oh, that's awful, yeah.
Have you had that before?
Not a roommate, but I know, having a falling out with someone and getting the silent treatment, yeah, that's not pleasant.
Well, this, and to be trapped with him? So I couldn't believe it, because I was talking to him, And it was like the way the silent treatment started, it was like out of nowhere. It was like, boom, I'm in silent treatment land. And I said to him, I go, are you giving me the silent treatment? And when you ask someone who's giving you the silent treatment, if you're getting the silent treatment,
you get the silent treatment.
Give you more silent treatment. So he said, oh my gosh, you're really giving me a silent treatment? I said, this is happening? Because I have to like acknowledge how I feel and get really into it. I go, this is what's going on? So the thing is, one of the most wonderful secrets of being with a roommate is, if you want to get along, you can still get along, even if your roommate doesn't want to get along.
How do you do that?
Well, I said to him, I go, Mike, give me a silent treatment. Another Mike, give me a silent treatment. And he didn't say anything. And I said, you know what? I love talking to you. And I'm going to just, you know what? I'm going to keep talking to you because I really enjoy your company. And this went on for 3.5 months. Okay? And I would talk to him, and he was a wonderful listener. He never interrupted me. And that's how we lived.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. So he did not talk to you, but he listened to you.
Well, he couldn't get away from me because we lived in the same room. So I would continue to talk to him.
All right. Well, so that's how you would, if we have a roommate who is giving us the silent treatment, ask him, why are you giving me the silent treatment? And then just keep on talking to him. Is that
right? If they're still silent, because really I didn't sign up or agree to the silent treatment. I'm a communicative guy. I'm a friendly man. And if somebody isn't giving me what I want, I don't have to hate them. I don't have to avoid them. I could acknowledge what they're doing, and I can continue to communicate. And when he's ready to talk, he can, and he's never been ready all these years later. In fact, I would write notes, and I'd say, Mike, if you need something, you know, let me know. And then even when I went to get food, I'd say, hey, I'm going to get some food. If you're hungry, let me know. Otherwise, just don't say anything.
Oh, my gosh. Would he leave a note saying pick up some bread?
Oh, he left a note. It didn't say pick up bread. So the thing is, it never worked. And he got really frustrated. I later found out that he ended up with some bigger issues. But truly, I am great at getting rejected, okay? Like, that's one of my gifts is when people don't give me what I want, I accept it. And the problem with roommates and just life in general, even, you know, coworkers are almost roommates in a sense, because
mm-hmm.
you're trapped in a room with them.
Well, office mates, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, longer, you're trapped with these people longer than most people sleep.
Yeah, but you don't see them naked usually.
Well, you know, different jobs.
That's true. Maybe if you're a lifeguard or something.
Maybe are most of your listeners, right, or close to naked. But this idea of, if I want to get along, I will find a way to get along. And I've been on my college speaking tour, and I've been talking to, you know, thousands of students and parents. And the number one rule when it comes to roommates is roommates who want to get along, find a way to get along. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand you now. You have a roommate, right?
Not right now, I don't. I have a husband who's my roommate. Yes, I have a spouse.
Mm-hmm. He's your roommate.
And for 28 years, I'm really lucky. He's been a great roommate. He's neater than I am. He's very patient with me.
Uh-huh.
He cooks and cleans and does all the things that I don't do very well. So I'm very happy.
You hit the jackpot.
Yeah, so I am very, very lucky. I suppose he's the one who might call in today.
But he wants to get along. I'm married as well, and my wife is my roommate, and there are three roommate rules. Roommates who want to get along, find a way to get along, okay? The second roommate for college students is roommates are just people you coexist with. They mm-hmm. don't have to be friends, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big misconception that your roommate needs to be a friend. But the difference for us is that our roommates need to be our friends,
right.
Okay? Because when marriages fall apart, it's when someone makes a decision, I don't want to get along, and then I've got to look at you. Ugh. And
wow.
I don't want to be your friend, but I've got to look at you, which creates more problems. The third rule, and this is where you and I and your husband, I think you've gotten good at this. There's this rule called the uncomfortable rule, which means you set the dynamics where if anything makes anyone uncomfortable, you have to talk about it within 24 to 48 hours. You can't talk about it at all. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're married, your spouse doesn't have a problem telling you within 24 seconds. Okay.
Right.
It doesn't take 24 hours. But the problem is when you have strangers living together who really want to get along, okay, and want to be friends, they're awful at sharing uncomfortable. And then they keep secrets. That builds resentment, turns to contempt, and then there's a big explosion, and people have big issues. But if they could agree to these three rules, and these just aren't rules for roommates, these are rules for coexisting in tight spaces. People who want to get along will find a way to get along. People who could coexist and not create bigger expectations, like the coworker who expects you to be a best friend, that's not the right mentality. The only expectation is I'm going to coexist and we're going to get things accomplished. We need to get accomplished. Friendship's a bonus. And if something makes us uncomfortable, we're going to talk about it.
Well, that's good. Three rules to follow. We will talk about other issues that we might have with our roommates and ways to deal with the far from ideal roomie with our guest, Harlan Cohen, author of the Help Me Harlan column and several books, including The Naked Roommate and 107 Other Issues You Might Run Into in College. College students are back for another year, starting a new year with new classes and new roommates. And we are talking about how to deal with a far-from-ideal roomie and welcoming your stories of horror, happiness, and the lessons you learned. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tell us about one of your roommate experiences. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a guest who writes a column and books with advice for college students and their parents. And we are talking about dealing with your college roommate, or for that matter, if you have a roommate and you're not in college, we welcome your questions and stories too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So who was the best or the worst or the most interesting roommate you ever had? Are you dealing with a roommate problem as we speak? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Harlan Cohen. He is the author of several books. I call him the Naked Roommate series, and author of an advice column, Help Me, Harlan. And in fact, Harlan, I wanted to talk about one of your most recent columns. Dear Harlan, I am a senior in college and the managing editor of my university's newspaper. I feel it's my duty as a journalist to always be honest. But I also realize that there could be social repercussions for turning in a roommate who is smoking pot. Sound familiar, Harlan?
Yeah, been there, done that. Yeah.
Well, so all right. This how should you deal with someone who is breaking the law?
Right, it's tough. It's tough when it comes to breaking the law, and we have to make decisions. And the problem with this letter, okay, this person wanted to turn in the roommate, and it was actually a roommate who shared a common. It was like a room next door. And this person, their friend was smoking pot, and the letter writer was really concerned, and she wanted to go to the police and turn this person in. And the initial thought is, okay, you know, have you talked to the roommate? And no, she didn't talk to her roommate, and she wanted to report somebody to the police. And I believe if someone's doing something illegal and it's not really dangerous, where you're going to be in harm's way for just asking politely and sharing something that makes you uncomfortable, then you should communicate. But she wanted to tell the police, not because she wanted this person to face consequences. offices. She wanted to tell the police because she didn't want to talk to the person face to face because it's uncomfortable. And there's a difference. I think in any situation, as long as it's not something that's dangerous, you owe it to that person as a courtesy to share what makes you uncomfortable. She violated the uncomfortable rule.
Yeah, there we go. What do you do if you're, I don't know, if you're maybe you are a more passive and it's very uncomfortable to address something uncomfortable.
Right. Well, I mean, life's uncomfortable. This has been my big theme. And we stink at uncomfortable, and high schools are awful at uncomfortable, and parents are terrible at uncomfortable, and adults are awful at uncomfortable. So when something's uncomfortable, our knee-jerk reaction, and now because of a lot of the college students, you know, technology, they can tweet their problems, they can Facebook their problems, they can blog their problems without telling their roommates. Joy, do you know, I've had residence life staff tell me that there are students who will be in the same room and they have a problem and they will text each other in the same room. Okay?
So, they will text each other trying to work out a problem they have between the two of them?
Uh-huh. One will be on one side of the room, one will be on the other side of the room, and they will communicate because we are so awful, and it's an epidemic when it comes to face-to-face communication because we are totally ill-equipped when it comes to dealing with uncomfortable. So the shy people, here's what I do, and if there are any parents listening or anybody who's in a situation, I tell them, I say, shy people, by a show of fingers, because I don't want them to raise their hands, it's too intimidating.
Right.
I say, by a show of fingers, how many of you are shy? And I say, you shy people are the worst people to live with. And then their faces change. So, like, why? And I said, because you shy people don't share your feelings because you're afraid of upsetting people. And they all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you can live by these three rules and make it clear that we have to talk about what makes us uncomfortable, then you as a shy roommate are not doing your job if you keep secrets. So then, if you don't want to be the roommate from hell, and many of the people listening here, many of us who have been in bad roommate situations, we love to blame the other person, but the truth is we're 50% of the problem, if not 51%, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If we can acknowledge and look in the mirror and say, am I the roommate from hell? And the way you acknowledge this, shy people, is you say, do I want to get along? Do I give my roommate permission to just be someone I coexist with? And am I living by the uncomfortable rule, meaning do I share my feelings? And if you aren't doing those things, then you are the roommate from hell. And admitting that means I need to work on this. And if you can't say what you think and do what you feel, you turn to the people who can help you. You put yourself in the places where you can find connections to get the help. But then you say what you think and you do what you feel. And it's an exercise for life.
Yeah. Do you think it's okay if you're shy and want to avoid a face-to-face confrontation to text your roommate to say, you know, you should put the milk away after you use it?
So I think it's okay. You know, I think whatever anybody does is okay because I'm not one to judge. But you're going to have a big problem because life is uncomfortable. Can I share a quick story about how parents are enablers with this?
Sure.
Okay. So I was at, of all places, Notre Dame, okay, Catholic University. And I know it's a family show here, so I'll be very careful in how I speak. But there was a girl who was in her room, very conservative, living with a girl who was much more liberal. And the conservative girl was in her room, and the liberal girl brought in a guest while the conservative girl was sleeping.
Oh, and the liberal that kind girl, of guest.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The liberal girl was enjoying herself, and the girl underneath, sleeping underneath, didn't know what to do. So at first she froze, and then that didn't help. So then she reached down and called her mom, okay, and said, "Mom, my friend is having a good time on top of my head. What should I do?" And the mom said, "I'll be right there."
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So the mom, this is what the RA, shared the story. So then the mom gets her 3 hours later, tells the RA, "I happen to be in the neighborhood.
Right.
We need to get my daughter."
3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Mm-hmm. We need to get this girl out of the room. I need to get my daughter out of the room. People are there and things are going on, and they rescue the girl and they cool her down. And the solution is they put her in a single. They put the conservative girl in a single. And it's a mother isolating her daughter from the uncomfortable, okay? Because these parents are the worst, and I have kids. I want my kid to be comfortable, but I also love it when my kid's uncomfortable, okay? Yeah. Because if my kid, and I got an 8-year-old, if my daughter doesn't learn how to be uncomfortable, and she's not going to be in that situation for a very long time. She's got a good 10 years for that. But if she knows how to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, and I've been able to coach her through this, instead of isolating her, instead of blaming the people who make her uncomfortable, she can stop. She can look inward, understand her role, look outward, try to be able to navigate the situation around her, and she can move forward. But we don't teach that.
No.
See, these are such bigger issues because this college experience, we are so focused on the academics and the finances, but there's the social, the emotional, and the physical transition that students are totally ill-equipped to navigate because high schools do a rotten job of helping students to prepare for uncomfortable.
We need to take a break for news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back talking more about coping with roommates. Our guest this hour has advice for roommates. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Wednesday, September 3rd. College students are starting a new year with new classes and possibly new roommates. We are talking about how to deal with roommates and welcoming your stories, your remembering of roommates past, stories of the roommates from hell, or maybe roommates who were great, lessons you learned, questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Harlan Cohen. He is the author of several books, including The Naked Roommate and 107 Other Issues You Might Run Into in College, and The Naked Roommate for Parents Only. Harlan is also the author of the column, Help Me, Harlan. He attended UW-Madison for his first 2 years of college. And, you know, with the school year starting right now, Harlan, I guess we really didn't touch on this. We have new college students just getting to know each other. How do you advise they, break the ice and set the ground rules?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, college is a huge transition. And I don't know, you know, what the most dramatic transition for you has been. What has been the most dramatic transition for you in your life? I know it's a big question.
Yeah, it is a big question. It probably was marriage more so than the my first roommate. I think I told you this story before. In college, I moved into the dorm, and I met her, but I don't even remember her name because she was never there. She went and lived with her boyfriend, so it was
right. That was perfect roommate.
Yeah, but I actually did become friendly with her, and I'm gonna have to do some investigating. Anyway, that it wasn't a traumatic experience for me, at least my first roommate. But I admit, certainly, the college experience is a huge transition.
Right, but even the transition to marriage. I mean, it's a huge change, and who you are and the dynamics shift so dramatically that it could be uncomfortable. You know, moving to new cities for many people, starting new relationships, feeling new emotions far away from the people who are in your inner circle. So this whole transition to college, it is so dramatic, especially for so many 18-year-olds. They have lived in the same place and lived the same life for, you know, their entire existence. And then they're put into this new situation that's completely foreign. They're supposed to be able to navigate this, make new friends, be able to balance themselves academically, be able to manage their finances, be able to take care of their health and well-being, when they've had to do none of this the previous 18 years. I mean, it's so big. So this idea of how do I navigate transition and how do I make friends, it's always a bigger question. And, I mean, I have an answer to it, but it's just this idea of, I think that a lot of times adults really don't see just how dramatic this change is. And it could be college, but it could also be graduating, which is a huge change. And it could be anything. Mm-hmm. So one of the suggestions I make for students is, it's so simple. It's people, places, and patience. And this 3P approach to life is so wonderful. Because whenever we get uncomfortable, instead of fighting the uncomfortable, we say, okay, what can I do to help myself? Where are the places where I can connect with people who can help me to find my way? So for students who are shy, it's, okay, what place could I put myself in? Well, a place where I have a role, not like a role with poppy seeds or sesame seeds, but like a role mm-hmm. in life, an R-O-L-E, what roles can I put myself in? Okay, well, I could work. If I get a job, if I'm working in a place where there's high traffic, I have a purpose, I have a script, I can connect with people. The reason Greek life is so wonderful, and there are many positive attributes of Greek life, is because it gives me a place where I'm surrounded by people, where I can explore different opportunities. When it comes to shy roommates also, or say clubs, like spiritual organizations are great. Because, you know, if you're in a room and you're praying with people, they're not going to be like, get away. Mm-hmm. Or you've got to audition to pray with us, which would be like a really intense Bible study. but those spiritual groups tend to be great. And this is great advice for anybody who's transitioning in their life. It's, where are your places, who are your five people, and how patient are you willing to be? And then when it comes to people, for any of the parents who are saying, you know, my kid's struggling, or if they do struggle, there are three types of people that you can reach out to during transition. Okay, there are people who are paid to help, which is great. Every college, university has therapists and counselors who are paid to help. And then there are Res Life staff, there's professors or spiritual leaders. So during the early stages of transition, what we need to do is reach out to people who are paid to help us. We also find people who are volunteers, and those people help us, the peer leaders, the orientation staff, and there are always people who volunteer when we're starting new jobs and new positions. Then the third group are the people who we enlist to help, who we ask to help. Sometimes that can be hard, especially when you're uncomfortable. But if you put yourself in places where you can be surrounded by these people and you give it time, and this is another thing that we're awful at, especially college students, you know, and me too. Like, when I want information and I Google something, if it takes more than a second, I'm like, Google, how dare you? You know, I need a million results in less than a second.
Hurry up.
My search has failed, okay? And when I'm feeling an emotion, I need it affirmed quickly via text message or Snapchat, okay? And I don't know if are you familiar with Snapchat, Joy?
I am, but I don't use it.
Right. Snapchat's interesting because a lot of younger people love Snapchat, and I'm not like into it, but I started to just get familiar with it. And the idea is, it's a thought that appears and disappears. Okay, so not only it's like it's this quick, like instant type of thing. The thought's there, and the thought's gone. I mean, it's like an attention deficit enabler. And the idea is, we live in this world where we're so impatient, and things are moving so quickly. So the idea of being patient while we're in the midst of transition. And the first year of marriage, like you said, you know, for a lot of people, the first year of marriage is a huge transition. But if you have your places and you have your people and you can be patient, you can work through it and build relationships.
Well, but and all that's great. It really is, especially if you're, you know, running into some issues. But I'm just thinking for the on the off chance that we have a college freshman listening right now at 6:45 in the morning, right, who just moved into the dorm and, you know, the roommate, you know, they're just, you know, barely getting to know each other. I'm just wondering if you recommend, hey, let's talk about the ground rules, or let's talk about, you know, putting the signal on the door handle. You know, I don't know. You know, whatever. What do you recommend having sort of an initial let's set the roommate rules down kind of meeting?
Oh, absolutely. The first thing you need to do is say, here are the three rules. Okay, I heard this guy Harlan talking. I read this in The Naked Roommate, and it's not me. This way, you can distance yourself, and you say, hey, you know what? I really want to get along. I hope we can get along. Roommates should get along. Find a way to get along. So, you know, if you ever don't want to get along, let me know before that happens. I really hope we can be friends. But he says friendship's a bonus. We just have to learn to coexist.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to live by this uncomfortable rule. So if I do anything that makes you uncomfortable, please let me know. And if you do something, I hope that I can let you know. Is that cool? And they go, yeah, that's cool. So then when the roommate who's been single her whole life falls in love with Prince Charming, and there might be a Prince Charming, and she is totally love struck, and this boy wants to spend the night every day, every night, okay, and he's always in the room. Well, if you've set the ground rules, then you can say something, you know, and even if she's in love, and in this situation, you could say, you know, I really support you, and I want you to be happy. But let's figure out a way that I don't have to be in the room when you guys are close, and let's figure out a way where I could be able to, you know, have a little bit of space as well. And if you have those ground rules in place, it becomes very easy to discuss those uncomfortable situations.
Well, we will go into some specific scenarios and get Harlan's take on how to deal with some problems that might occur among or between roommates. And again, we are welcoming any roommate experiences that you would like to share. Do you have a roommate from hell story? Do you have a roommate who was the best roommate you ever had? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and on this start of another school year, college students are returning to their campuses. We're talking about new roommates or getting along with roommates. And even if you're not a college student, we welcome any thoughts or questions, observations you have about the roommate experience. Our guest is telling us how to deal with a far-from-ideal roomie, and we do welcome your stories of horror, happiness, or questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Who remembers their first roommate in college? What sorts of problems did you encounter? How did you work out those problems? Maybe you're not a college student at all. Maybe you're much older. Maybe you're a new retiree. There's a new trend with people moving in, sharing apartments with roommates. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So here's an issue that I wanted to run by you, Harlan. I'm not going to identify the person, because she will be mortified that I talked about her on the radio. I am really...
Well, let's talk about it. What's her name? That's
no fun. Yeah, right. First and last name. She is a relative. And she had roommates in the last year here at UW-Madison. And she liked two of them very much. One of them was an issue for her. And here's just one little example of... this particular roommate would always use my friend's computer, and that was fine. You know, just the computer was kind of in a common space, and would always use the computer. And then, though, would leave her notes. Hey, you're out of paper. and printing paper.
Right.
And so my friend was one of these, I don't want to confront. I don't want to cause problems. I'm just going to buy a new ream of paper, and that's going to be what I do. But there was just this resentment buildup. And now my friend moved out in part because she couldn't stand this particular roommate.
Now, I love this situation because
mm-hmm.
your friend who moved out, in my eyes and ears, is the problem.
Right.
Okay? You know, and I don't know if your friend recognizes that she's the problem and that the roommate, you know, just asked the question. And, yeah, the roommate should have approached it differently. But in her mind, it wasn't a big deal, maybe. You know, she didn't even recognize it because some people just don't get it. So as a courtesy, explaining something in a very honest way. And when there's an uncomfortable situation like this, like I had a roommate who ate all my food, okay? And it gets you aggravated. Then you start to resent this person. Then you hold contempt, and then you get out of there. But if you can approach the situation from a place of compassion, when I say compassion, it's, you know, maybe this person can't afford paper, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can't afford Cheez-Its, okay? Whatever it is that they're taking and feeling entitled to, a lot of time entitlement is it's not about somebody just thinking they deserve something. It comes from a deeper place. So it's starting with compassion and saying, hey, I really hope we can get along. And, you know, I really want to be friends, but something made me uncomfortable. And the roommate could say what? When you approach it like that, you're not saying, you know, who the hell do you think you are asking me for paper? And then you say, you know, I just wanted to know, how are you doing financially? Like, are you able to participate in things for our room that we both use? And someone could say, you know, I've got a budget and I'm doing all right. You know, I know you asked me for more paper, but the thing is, I'm on a really tight budget. Can we figure out how much paper would be? And since you're using my computer, do you mind if we split it? Okay.
That sounds good
then,
to me.
Then somebody has an opportunity to say, no problem. Or, you know, I really have no money. And, you know, it's just something I'm not in a place to be able to afford. And it becomes an entirely different conversation. Then the person who's the troublemaker sees that I live with someone who's compassionate, or that person just doesn't see it at all because they're totally clueless. And, you know, there are a lot of roommates who live with people who have mental health issues, who aren't great at reading cues and don't really understand boundaries and need a little bit of help being taught those boundaries. So it's only that roommate who's comfortable with the uncomfortable who could approach this, and then to be coached by a Res Life staff is really helpful as well, or a therapist if someone's not in a residential situation.
Let me bring in a caller. Lori in Green Bay has a story to share. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good. What's your roommate story?
Well, it's actually not my roommate. About some years ago, we brought our son to college, and he was 20. He had worked a while, so he wasn't a super young boy. And we dropped him off. We walked into his room that he was going to meet his roommate. And we looked down and we saw about three knives neatly stacked on a box with really long blades.
Oh,
and we kind of go, okay. And we didn't want to be the helicopter parents, so we just sort of discreetly said to the RA, gee, there's these knives there. Common. And she says, oh, that's so-and-so. He's from Vietnam. He really likes to cook. He's a great guy. So we met him. He was super. And he and my son got along great. He was a little older, too. They had the same crazy sense of humor. They both loved to cook, and it all worked out. But it was just this funny scene of walking in and seeing these knives there and going, okay.
So yeah, they were chef.
Be cool about it.
They were chef knives. Oh, boy.
They were chef knives, yeah. But it was a little disconcerting when you walk in, and we checked it out. It was just fine.
I love how you handled that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea that you were upset or a little concerned, and instead of overreacting, you told the people who can kind of keep an eye on the situation, and you let it play out. That's just so cool.
Yeah, and plus it was just mentioned and then learned that there was the knives were not for committing crimes. They were for chopping vegetables.
Crimes against vegetables.
Yes. Now, here's a Sue on Facebook says, my college roommates are my best friends after being out of college for 40 years now. My first roommate is a travel writer, and we all travel together at least once a year. We joke and tell others that we have known each other longer than our husbands. Sometimes people think we are sisters. Well, then that can happen too, right?
I think that's beautiful, yes. And if Sue has kids, the idea that her kids, you know, could end up living with someone who isn't a great friend, you know, it's like you have to be open to that too, because most roommates don't end up being best friends and standing in a wedding. A lot do. I mean, some do. But parents are oftentimes the ones who put the most pressure on these situations because they want that college roommate to be the best. And when their kid goes to school, it might be that framing it, you know, my best friends, I met them in college, and you meet the best people living with strangers. And then the expectations are, you know, listen, I need to be, my mom has made it clear, my roommate's got to be my friend, because that's how it works out. So I love it, but it's also leaving room for the other stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of running a little bit short on time. How about maybe we are out of college now, but our circumstances are such that we want to share expenses, living expenses. Any advice on choosing a roommate?
Absolutely. So you got to look at it as a relationship, as a new relationship. And one of the best ways to see if a relationship is going to be a good one is to look at the past history of that person who's been in similar situations. So you look, and while you're interviewing that roommate, meeting that roommate, you ask the question, how do you get along with your previous roommates? Okay? And if the answer is, I don't really know because there's a restraining order, okay? That's a bad sign, okay? And it's the same thing with relationships that you want to know. So past relationships are a great predictor. Then there are websites that really help you to have a profile so you can get a handle of who people are. Then there's also a site called BeenVerified.com. I don't know if you're familiar with BeenVerified.com. Great site. And BeenVerified has a way to track all public records of someone. Very inexpensive site. So you can do a little background check, and you can see if there's a criminal history. And it's not alleged crimes. There are only ones convictions. You can also see pending charges. And you can also see if someone has a history of financial distress through that site. So really investigating, you don't give people the benefit of the doubt, and you look at those past histories and how they interact with other people in their lives.
Yeah, and we're very short on time, but it's, you know, it turns out then your roommate is noisy, your roommate is messy, your roommate is using your stuff. Sort of a recap on what we should do with that situation.
Right. Well, you welcome it. There's a rule of the universe that says not everybody and everything is going to respond the way we want. When you're living in a tight situation, that is going to be part of the arrangement. So you agree to your roommate rules. One, roommates want to get along. Two, you just have to coexist. Friendship's a bonus. And three, you agree to the uncomfortable rule, meaning if something makes someone uncomfortable, they have permission to discuss it. So if someone's snoring, you can say, hey, I really want to get along, but last night, I don't know if you know, you were snoring. And the snoring roommate could say, you know what, I never know because I'm sleeping when the snoring happens.
Right.
Because of course you are. How could I deal with that? And my wife, she taps me on the shoulder. So someone could tap the other person on the shoulder and ask them to roll over to the side. Like, there are easy solutions, but we take the uncomfortable and we obsess about it because we're so afraid that it consumes 100% of our time. And that's where roommates in these new situations, whether somebody drinks a lot, someone's sober, someone has a lot of intimate relationships, we can work through them all if we embrace the uncomfortable.
Thank you so much for being with us again.
Wonderful. Okay, just tell everybody I've got at harlingcohn.com, I have a wonderful course for students and parents.
All right. I'm sorry. We'll put that on our website. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.